Lord. Amen. It's good to have my father-in-law here with us tonight. Amen. Amen. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be here tonight. We ask, God, for your strength. We ask for your guidance, dear God, to guide us through this little teaching from the scripture tonight, I pray. And may you receive all glory in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye, upon the first day of the week, that's Sunday, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberty to Jerusalem. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. Now I come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia. And it may be that I will abide, yea, in winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permits. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. For a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. Now if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord, as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him in peace, forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren. As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desire him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time, but he will come when he shall have convenient time. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. This means to stand firm in the faith, and to quit like men means to act like men, or be mature, to be mature and be strong. Let your things be done with charity, which means love. I beseech you, brethren, know ye not the house of Stephanus? Now, Stephanus was a Christian convert at Corinth, who Paul baptized him and his whole household. And he goes on to say that it is the first fruits of Achaia that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such and to every one that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanus and of Fortunus and Ecos, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. Now, Aquila and Priscilla, they were Jews that had fled. They were they had fled from Rome during a time when Pontius during a time when the order of Claudius, commanded all the Jews to leave the city of Rome, and so they had fled, and they went to Corinth, and Paul found them there. And then they later left there and went to Asia, and had a little house church there. And they were the ones that are credited for teaching Apollos. All right, verse 20. All the brethren greet you. Greet ye one another with a holy kiss. The salutation of me, Paul, with mine own hand. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema maranatha. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Just a few things to point out here. First, Paul speaks just briefly about Ephesus and about there being a great door open unto him. And, of course, Brother Branham talks about this in the Ephesians church age. Here, Paul is mentioning these different ones that work in the Lord and that. But then what I want to actually look at tonight is actually verse 22. And it says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema maranatha. And that's actually anathema is actually a Greek word that Paul is using there. And that Greek word is actually used four times by Paul in the writings of Paul. Three times that it's used, it was actually translated into the word accursed. And that was in, that can be found in Romans 9, Corinthians, well, we just read not long ago, Corinthians 12 and 3, but it's also in Galatians 1 and 8 and 9. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, we're very familiar with it. It's where Paul says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed, or anathema, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. So Paul is using that same word here, let him be accursed, this man that does not love the Lord Jesus Christ. But he goes further to talk about it. And, you know, this saying this is actually would be considered very strong language. But it's warranted. And as Paul places it in Galatians, you realize there was false teachers that had slipped in among the Galatian church. And they were all under the guise of Christianity. And here the Holy Ghost through Paul in these epistles is actually is sounding out, thundering out against these false teachers and men. And what Paul is saying is, let them be excommunicated. Don't fellowship them. You know, exclude them, remove them from your midst. And that he was telling the Galatian Christians and also those here in Corinth to don't have any further dealings with these men. Don't have any dealings with them. They were religious traditionalists who were using the law of Moses to actually corrupt the grace of God. And so Paul was dealing with this and saying, you know, don't have anything to do with them. Don't fellowship with them. You know, and, you know, I'm saying this right on the tail end of the two services we had just preached on the last couple of Sundays about having grace for others. And, you know, and we brought out Sunday, and I'll tell you, I went back over Sunday's message in my mind and my heart several times over this past week. And, you know, the thing is, you know, we always want to have grace for others, and we want to have hope for others. But as I was saying on Sunday, the devil also knows that. And so the devil will try to use that to gain advantage against you. And, you know, Brother Branham actually says, remember in the message, Brother Branham says, you're a real sweet group right now. He says, but Satan's not going to let you stay that way. Said he, if he's got to send one in among you to and shoot them full of poisonous darts to start something in your midst, and he says, and get you to fighting amongst yourselves and one another, he says, why, then he doesn't have to do anything. Satan can just sit back then and let that take its course. And so, you know, Brother Branham's saying, you know, that, and of course, Brother Branham, he talks about praying for others, praying for your brothers, praying for these ones. And of course, Jesus says, you know, speak good of those who speak evil of you. You know, say good things. Pray for those who say evil things about you and that. And we're not taking away from that. And Paul's not taking away from that. But Paul is bringing out, and you realize these ones like we were speaking on Sunday and that, ones that would be like this. Friends, look, they don't love the Lord Jesus. Look, the scripture's plain on that. It says, if you love me, keep my commandments. You know, if they love the Lord, they'll keep his word. If they love the Lord, then they'll actually live by the word of God. They, you know, you can't live in the things of the world and say you love God. If you love God, then your life will reflect the word of God. It will reflect, you will reflect Christ in your life. And if you love God, then Satan won't have any room to work in your life. You understand what I'm saying? Turn with me. Let's just look at this a minute. Turn with me back into the 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. We covered this chapter some months ago, but I wanted to point out a few things from this. Now, the first part of that chapter, Paul is actually dealing with, you know, they had someone that was living with his father's wife, committing fornication, and Paul said, you know, to have them cast out. Brother Branham, and we brought this out when we brought a teaching on that, Brother Branham actually comes to the scripture and says that it's actually God's way of bringing correction. And, you know, Paul says, you know, deliver them unto Satan for the destruction of flesh, the spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. But Paul then goes on in that chapter, and that's where I want to pick up in verse 6. It says, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Now, we know what that means. You know, you know, if you're making something like unleavened bread, then if you put just a little bit of leavening in it, then it's leavened. You understand what I'm saying? That's what Paul's saying here. There's no way for it to remain unleavened if there's even just the slightest bit of leavening in it. And Paul's talking about these individuals is who he's talking about here. Paul's not talking about making bread. He's just using this analogy. Paul's talking about these people who come in amongst the believers, and they're full of leavening. And if you let them stay there, he says, it's going to affect the whole church. That's what he's saying. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. Now, Paul doesn't just stop there. He goes on to say, and of course, Paul's talking about, look, he says, you know, if we're talking about people of the world, you know, then we have to get you out of the world. He says, I'm not talking about that. What Paul is dealing with, but what goes on in the supposed to be the body of Christ? What's going on in the church? That's what Paul is bringing out here. We'll just go ahead and read it, verse 10. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, then must ye needs go out of the world. So see, Paul's letting you know, I'm not talking about out there. I'm talking about in the church. And he says, but now I've written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or idolater, or railer, or drunkard, or extortioner, with such a one know not to eat. Don't go out to eat with them. Don't have them to your house to eat. That's what Paul's talking about. Don't eat with them. Don't fellowship with them. I know this seems harsh, you know, and I know that, you know, here we just brought these messages on having grace for others, and as we said, you know, it looks like what I preached and what I'm saying here is like not in line with that, but it is. Look, do you think if Judas hadn't went and killed himself that the other disciples would have still had anything to do with him after it was all said and done? It wasn't just because he went and hung himself. Look at in the scriptures, whenever they talk, there was another brother by the name of Judas. And anytime they talk about him in the scriptures, they wanted to be clear that it was not Iscariot. You say, well, but Jesus had him there, and Jesus knew he was a devil. And Jesus knew that that had to be, there had to be one there to betray him, that he was going to have to die. It was just as necessary as when he went down to the river where John was baptizing, and John said that he didn't want to baptize Jesus. I have need to be baptized to you. And Jesus said, suffer it to be so. For it behooves us to fulfill all righteousness. The sacrifice had to be washed. And Jesus had to be the sacrifice. And realize this, Jesus said, you have given me 12, talking to the Father, he says, and one of them is a devil. And then notice what Jesus did when they were there at the Last Supper. Jesus didn't really reveal or say much to them until after Judas had left their company. Jesus actually urged him, go ahead and leave. What thou doest, do quickly. Judas thought Jesus was giving him permission to do what he was going to do. And Jesus didn't tell him any different. You know, after the Last Supper, we went through this teaching here a few Sundays back when we were teaching on communion and foot washing. But we went through the Last Supper and how Jesus, from that was they were observing the Passover, and how Jesus was teaching them to observe this and about communion and keeping of communion after that he was gone. He says, you know, take, drink of this wine. It's my blood. This bread is my body. And then after that, you realize there they were at the Last Supper, and Jesus then tells Judas to go his way, and then Jesus does foot washing with the disciples. Then Jesus begins to talk with them. Look at this. When Jesus went, remember when I believe it was Jairus' daughter that had died, and Jesus went to her house, and when he got there, there were mourners and that were there, and Jesus said, the damsel's not dead, but she's asleep. And it says they laughed at Jesus over it. And Jesus ran them all out of there. Then he took her by the hand and raised her from the dead. Friends, look, remember what he told Abraham. He told him to separate himself. And the prophets taught us, separate yourself from all unbelief. Separate unbelief from out of your midst. Now, friends, look, when we were reading here in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, of course, there was one in their midst that was coming in, calling himself a brother and that, but was living a life that was bringing a reproach on the church. And so Paul gives, the how to deal with this and bring correction to that one. But that's not what I'm actually dealing with here tonight. I've brought this out before. Look, friends, you know, when God sends a pastor and puts a pastor over, he's there as a watchman. And he's supposed to watch for how the devil would come and try to move against the congregation. And when he sees the devil's movements, he's supposed to point that out to the people. And I'll tell you, it's not an easy thing to do, because, you know, I'm human, and I realize I'm dealing with people, and I realize I'm dealing with people's lives and people's souls. But I got to tell you something, friends. Someone who is yielding themselves to the devil is not more important to me than a child of God who's yielding themselves to God. And if the Lord would point out to me that there was someone that was coming and trying to spread poison in the church, then I'm not going to just stand idly by and let that happen. I am duty bound by God to not let that happen. Let's go back here to verse 11. But now I've written unto you not to keep company. If any man call himself a brother, be a fornicator or a covetous or idolater or railer or a drunkard or extortioner, with such a one, know not to eat. For what I do to judge them also that are without, do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without, God judges. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Amen. Now, let's go back to this, what we were speaking of. See, what we were speaking of was anathema Maranatha. All right, now, Maranatha is actually an Arabic-like word. And Paul, you know, Paul actually knew several languages. And so Paul just kind of mixes a couple of things here. And he used this, and what that word means is, our Lord cometh or will come. So then Paul, like we said, the anathema meant accursed, all right? Now, what Paul is saying by this is those who do not love the Lord Jesus Christ, especially those who don't love the doctrine that has been brought by Paul, that they're to be detached from the Christian assembly. They're to be detached. He's saying, don't, any heretics, any apostates, any unbelievers or Christians acting like unbelievers, they're to be expelled. Let the assembly become even more further, because he said, because the assembly can become more ensnared in Satan's policy of evil. And what he's saying is, therefore, and like we read here in the fifth chapter there at the end, what he's saying is, therefore put away or divorce or separate from among yourselves that wicked person. Brother Bill will be familiar with this, but I'm not going to mention any names and go too much into it. But there was an individual that when my father first started the church up there in Ohio years ago, there was an individual that was there with the original people that came, and he was part of the original group, and he was there fellowshipping with us and worshiping with us for some time, but he constantly was questioning the pastor and coming against the pastor. And, you know, we had services where when the church was first starting out, Brother Browning actually lived about 4 hours away from where we were with the church. And so he wasn't there during the week. He traveled up on the weekends and was there on, sometimes he would come in on Friday, be there Friday night, and then be there through Sunday and that. But he wasn't there, and then we would have a Friday night prayer meeting, and we had a midweek service. And, you know, this brother got to where, you know, he would try to get up and do something during the services when Brother Browning wasn't there. So Brother Browning, you know, had to bring correction to this man. And the man wouldn't stand the correction. So eventually, he left the assembly. But you think that he would just leave and leave well enough alone? No. He kept trying to come and make contact with different believers from the assembly at different times and trying to inject poison. And, you know, and then he would try to show up then at a service and try to pass out some kind of letters in that he had wrote. And so, you know, finally, the brothers, the deacons, stopped this brother and said, no, you can't come in here and do that. We don't want you bringing none of your letters in here. You can't pass nothing out. You know, they had to put a stop to it. He came, he was there one service. This is when I was still living up there. And Brother Tim Pruitt had come to preach some special services. And this man had showed up at one of the services, you know. And Brother Tim didn't really know him. But when Brother Tim was, after he got done preaching, was walking out, this brother had got out there, this man, and he met him right outside the sanctuary doors there in the vestibule, you know, and he stopped him and said, "Let me pray for you, brother." And he laid his hands on Brother Tim Pruitt to pray for him, you know. And then Brother Tim went on his way. And then someone then later said something to Brother Tim about this man and what was going on there and that. And, you know, Brother Tim said, well, he said, I figured I could use the prayer and he needed the practice. And you know, so he just went on. But the thing was, eventually the brothers had to put a stop to it. He come into service. I mentioned this actually here here recent, and after I mentioned it, I think Brother Phil and Brother David come up to me and said they remembered they were there at that particular service. But it was Brother Donnie Reagan had preached some special meetings up there, and after he had finished preaching one of the services in that, the Holy Spirit moved, the gift of the Holy Spirit moved to my father-in-law, and he spoke in tongues, and when he did, this man jumped up. He happened to be there, and he jumped up like he was going to give the interpretation and started saying things. And then the Holy Spirit turned my father-in-law around and rebuked him. And then my father-in-law gave the interpretation then, the real interpretation of what was said, you know. And so this man, he would just show up and come in, and it was always to bring a disturbance. And here's the thing, friends. He wasn't living a godly life outside a church. He was not living a life that was reflective of himself saying, "I believe the message." And yet he would want to come into the church and act like everything's fine with me. Now, you say, why are you pointing these things out to us? Because we've had it happen here. People who, they're out there, they're not, they're friends. Look, I don't care what they tell you. Look, if they want to get right, it's not that hard. They say, "Oh, I want to come to church. I don't know if Brother Jerry will let me." I'm not going to stop them. But I can tell you this. I'll burn the fire out of the devil that's on them until that devil leaves here. And they can either get delivered to that devil or leave with him. Because the thing is, friends, look, we're to check motives and objectives. Now, this is the thing. If somebody's motive for coming to church is really to get right, then I'll tell you something, friends. The first time they hit that door back there, they're going to want to do whatever it takes to get right. And coming and just sitting on this pew like nothing ever happened and they ain't never done nothing is not going to get them right. If they've been here, then, you know, the altar's always open. When we get done preaching, someone wants to come up here and get prayed for, wants to come up to the altar and want to, you know, say something or make a confession. Or, friends, look, I've never stopped anybody if they said, look, I've got something I want to say. I've done some wrong, and I want to make it right before the church. And so I want to openly tell the church that I've done wrong and ask for their forgiveness. I've never stopped anybody from doing that. But when they come and park themselves down on a pew here, it's like as if they have been here the whole time serving God. And never make a move to make anything right. And I'm going to tell you something. They'll tell you, oh, I didn't say nothing. I didn't do nothing. Liars. The only reason they're telling you that is because they want to tell you what they think you need to hear, so that you won't hold them accountable for anything. Look at the way people are in this world today. They don't want to be held accountable for anything they do. If they get in trouble, it wasn't their fault. It was the police's fault. If they go to prison, it wasn't their fault, it was the prosecutor's fault. That's the way it is in this world today. And I'll tell you, friends, we've got a system in this country that actually enables people to be that way. We've got people in our justice system that enables people that way. We don't need to be enablers. And I'll tell you this, friends. Look, you know, if you were a family man, and you know, as a husband of the house, a father of the house, then you're responsible for your house. If you let someone come into your house that is going to bring an influence of sin into your house, you're going to have to be the one to answer for that. Is that not right? Well, it's the same thing here in the house of God. I cannot let that go on without pointing it out. Have I had grace for them? Yeah, sure. I didn't meet them at the door and say, don't you come in here, did I? I let them sit here and hear the word. See if the word will have an effect on them. Did the word have an effect? Evidently not. Otherwise, they'd still be here. Because they would have got right. You know, I brought out on Sunday, I had to deal with some of these very things that was going on. It was coming out of my own house trying to affect this church. I told one individual, they were, I believe at the time, 21 years old. And, you know, they were coming in at all hours of the night, out here running around, coming in on Sunday morning, telling me, oh, I think I got food poisoning and I can't come to church. They were hungover. And I had to tell them, look, as long as you live in this house, I don't care how old you are. You're going to be in here by a certain time. You're not coming in all hours of the night. You're not running around out here like that. and you're going to go to church. And I told him, I said, if you don't like it, then you need to leave and find you a place to live. If you don't want to live by what I'm laying down and by having to come to church and these things, then, you know, then you don't need to be living here. Now, I didn't just do that for my own house and my own self. I did it because that individual was trying to bring division in this church as well. And I've always had in my house for all of my children, both by birth and adoption, if you're going to live here, then you are going to give your tithe and offerings. Because that's the word of the Lord. And I'm responsible to teach you right. Well, this individual didn't end up liking all that. So they left. And when they left my house, they left this house too. But I was long suffering with them. This went on for quite a while. And friends, I was long suffering with a lot of things back then, during that time. And I'll tell you what it's meant. We got people who got delivered. We got people that got Jesus in their lives over it. We had individuals that were associating with this one that I was telling you about. One got delivered and no longer associated with them. The other one didn't get delivered, and she's not here anymore either. But I never went to them and told them, you can't come to church here. But what I did was I preached the word of God and I laid down the word of God. And I exposed the devil. Friends, listen, that's how you render the devil powerless, is by exposing him. As long as he's hidden, he has power. But once you expose him, he no longer has power. Anathema Maranatha simply means withdraw or separate from all who love not the Lord Jesus Christ, for that same Lord Jesus Christ is coming. Stand. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, tonight for the teaching of your word, Lord, and for, Lord, I, Father, have never really looked at those two words before, dear God, and looked them up, Father, like we do many times. Sometimes we can't pronounce a word and we just read over it and read on by it, and but Lord, it just I just felt, Lord, to really go into the study of that tonight. Lord, and I see, Lord, how that, Lord, not knowing when I was preaching on Sunday that I would be breaking this down on Thursday. But Lord, it just went right hand in hand with what you had been bringing, Lord, to me, Father, that I'd been preaching on the last couple of Sundays. I pray your blessings on the people tonight, dear God. I pray you'll go with them, Father. Continue to bless this church and let the people grow in the grace of God. And I pray, dear God, that you will be with them, Lord, when they're on their jobs tomorrow and so forth, dear God. And then, Lord, we're coming up on, Father, the Christmas time. I pray, Lord, that you'll continue to lead me, Father, on the message to bring for Sunday for Christmas. And I pray, Father, your blessings on their families. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.